Come out to Bluegrass Karting and Events and check out their all-new axe-throwing arenas. Make a night of it, and also enjoy their new full bar and expanded menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events, the fastest go-karts in Kentucky, and now axe-throwing arenas.
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services studio. Time now for The Drive with Mark Ennis and Luke Hancock right here on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Luke Hancock. Every week on Wednesdays, we talk to our man Jeff Walls, head coach of the Louisville women's basketball team, and here he is. He joins us a little bit early today since you guys are about to hit the road. Jeff, how many times have we done this where you're basically like about to get on an airplane? How did we end up doing this?
You know what? It's just the way it works out. We have actually had a lot of Thursday games on the road so far this year. So we're at the airport right now waiting to get on the plane here about 4:30 and head down to Tallahassee.
All right, well, talk to me about the environment down there. I know we've talked about some of the bigger places that you've played this year on the road. You started off with a bunch of road games because of the weirdness of the schedule. What's Florida State like? What kind of environment does that kind of challenge does that present for you?
You know what? They've actually done a really nice job in the marketing department. I would expect to see about 4,000 or 5,000 at the ball game tomorrow night, so it should be a pretty good crowd. And you know, Sue does a really nice job with her ball club. So they always come in with a plan. I'm very impressed with how well she coaches, and they've actually had a lot of success against us. We are 1-5 against them the last six. So we're excited about the opportunity to play and look forward to it tomorrow night.
I was going to say, is this a game that you had circled on the calendar? I know you guys set that record for undefeated streak to start the season last year, and in front of a really lively crowd, kind of couldn't get things going with Florida State last year. Is this a game early on you guys circled?
We have talked about it. Now, you know, we talked about it before the season started, and then we haven't talked about it until we got ready back for practice on Tuesday, just because we like to try to make sure we're focused one game at a time. But you know, it's a game that we've actually had a difficult time scoring the last 4 or 5 times, which is not the norm for us. So we've broken down everything, looked at everything we've run the past 6 times against them, what's worked, what hasn't, and hopefully we've got a little bit of a better plan going into things tomorrow night.
Is it a matchup thing? Is it just a Florida State, you know, has a mental block? What's the key for the game?
No, they have really matched up well the past 6 years with us, past 5, and we played them twice 1 year. And it's been a challenge, and we've had great games. It's not like it's been a 15-point blowout. They've been 1-point games, 3- and 4-point games. But they've really matched up well with us. They normally don't have the 6'4", 6'5" post players, so it's more 6'1", 6'2", and the athleticism is very comparable on both teams. So it's going to be another really good ball game, and I mean we're excited for it as coaches, and I know our players are also.
Are you a guy that uses revenge, that sort of thing, as a motivator? Are you a guy that hates that, or are you just going to deny any of that?
No, I mean, it's not something that we sit there and put on the board or anything like that, but we do talk about it. You know, I want to make sure our players know, hey, they came in here last year, we had 15,000 plus, and beat us, I think, 50-49. We defended well, we just couldn't score. So we have talked about that, and I think our players are excited.
I got to ask, you guys have to be rolling with confidence. After these last few games, you've held opponents under 50 points in 3 straight. You've only had one player in the last 2 games score in double figures, and she had 11. You even tried to shoot a jump shot for UVA's team as they passed it to you on the sidelines there. You did miss that shot, though. Did anybody give you grief about that?
I did. Oh, yes, of course. But I had told our kids, because that's the third time one of our players had thrown me such a horrendous pass that I caught it. That I told him, if after the second one, I said, if you throw me another one, I'm shooting it.
There you go.
And, you know, I got a nice pass, but unfortunately I missed it. And as I've told people, I'm kind of surprised because it was right there on the bench, which is where I spent most of my college career. So it's a shot I should have made.
How much confidence do you guys glean from the last few games of ACC play? I know Florida State's hot. They're 4-1 in the ACC, have a great overall record, but your girls have to be feeling confident after what they've done the last several games.
Yeah, we are. I mean, I think they're really pleased with, you know, what we've been able to get done defensively. You know, we're still trying to focus on rebounding the ball better. That's really our Achilles heel right now. You know, I've been doing this for a long time, and we got out-rebounded by 20 at Wake Forest. And I can't remember the last time I've ever been a part of a team that's been out-rebounded by 20 and then won by 23. It's normally the complete opposite. So we've got to fix that, and we've been working on it every day in practice, so hopefully you'll see some improvements tomorrow night.
What do you attribute that to? Like, how do you get to a game where you get out-rebounded like that, but then we're still had the game in hand?
Well, we are not turning the ball over. We turned the ball over six times against Wake Forest, and we forced them into 26. So, as you know, it's a game of possessions. It's a game of getting shots. So we got out-rebounded by 20, but they only out-rebounded us by 7 at the offensive end, so that gives them 7 extra shots, but we forced them into 20 more turnovers. So we ended up winning the shot battle because of that, but you know, I try to talk to our players, and I'm trying to get them to understand how good we really could be if we decide to rebound, because we are taking care of the ball.
Is this just show kind of how important Maisha Hines-Allen was last year? Because I know she kind of filled a lot of that void with on the rebounding front.
I would say so. You know, that's the one thing. You never had to worry about rebounding when Maisha was on the floor. She just pursued the ball. And as you know from playing – you can do rebounding drills until you're blue in the face, but at the end of the day, you got to go get the ball. You got to have a passion to run into somebody, hit somebody, contact, and go after it. And that's what I'm trying to get our kids to understand, that just putting a body on somebody is not going to do it. You got to go get the ball.
I know you've been playing, and you mentioned her, I think, last week with us, that Mikasa Robinson's been practicing better and been playing more. Yeah, as a result of it, like, what sort of clicked for her that you're getting more out of her now than you were earlier in the year?
Well, I really think the game has just slowed down. You know, when you go from your senior year in high school to your freshman year in college, at times the game's just going so fast because everybody's bigger, everybody's quicker, and you're just trying to get it to slow down as everything's going by you. And I think about 3 weeks ago, she finally got to that point where she got really comfortable in what she was doing, and the game just became easier. And now she's got a great feel for what's going on, and I've just been really impressed with how she's been playing.
You know, last year when it came to the ACC, like the regular season race, you were in the reverse position with Notre Dame that you're in now, where you had, you know, last year you had the head-to-head, this year they've got it. How do you motivate the team to sort of stay focused on this? With a game behind Notre Dame and with them having you head-to-head, what's the message there?
Well, I mean, we know it's just not the – I mean, we know if we want a chance to be outright winners of the ACC, Notre Dame's going to have to lose twice, which I just don't see that happening. But there's a chance somebody could knock them off, and all of a sudden there's a tie for ACC regular season championship. But what we talk about right now is what we talked about all last year, too, was – you know, we're really continuing to play, not only to hopefully, you know, have a shot at having a tie for the ACC, but for NCAA tournament seeding. We're still right now, you know, if we continue to do what we're doing, we still have a very good possibility of being a one seed in the NCAA tournament. But, you know, if we can stay within a one or two seed, it's going to give us the opportunity to play here at home and then have a great seed as we continue on, hopefully, in the tournament.
All right, Jeff, I'm not going to try to trick you into bad-mouthing any referees. I'm asking you, I swear, I'm asking you in the context of the football games from over the weekend. Do you ever get from a referee, like, just an apology? Like, in the game, like, hey, we blew that one. Like they did for the Saints in the game on Sunday.
You know what? The good officials do. And, you know, if I have a question about something and someone comes, hey, Jeff, I missed it. You know, what more can I say? As a coach, I'm like, okay, thanks. because they're not going to get every call right. So a simple, hey, I did miss it, I'm fine with. Now, like I tell them, you can't come over and tell me that 10 times. You know, so if you tell me once or twice in a ball game, hey, I'll go with it. But, you know, you also deal with the ones that they're never wrong. They've never missed a call. And then you're having to send stuff into their supervisors to say, hey, listen, we got to get a little more consistent. But it happens at all levels, as we saw in the NFL, too. So, you know, it's something you just have to be able to deal with as a coach.
Have you dug in? Like, have you had one the other way where you were, like, outraged, and then all of a sudden you see the replay and you're like, oh, crap. You got to go tell them, hey, you got that one right?
You know what? Every once in a while, but I'm not going to say much about a call unless I'm 99% sure I've got it right. Because that's one thing I don't want to do. I don't want to become that one that, I mean, he even yells when he's wrong. It doesn't matter. It's got to be something pretty evident for me to really give my two cents. You know, it's like a block charge. If you're standing in that restricted zone, it doesn't matter. It's a block every single time. And that's where I have problems. If your feet are on that line, it's not really hard to see. So you should know it's a block. But any other one outside of that, you know, it's a 50-50 judgment call, and I'd say it's a flip of the coin every time it happens.
Jeff Walls, head coach of the Louisville women's basketball team, heading down to face Florida State tomorrow night. Safe travels to and fro. We appreciate you joining us, as always.
I appreciate it, guys, and good luck to our men's team tomorrow night.
Thanks, appreciate Coach. Good luck.
There you go. Jeff Walls.
Appreciate it.
Good stuff, as usual, there from him.
He's a man. Great guy. I did want to know one other question about – I mean, it's –
you could have asked him.
It's incredible that
– we just had him on.
He's not going to just douse these other players. So he's got one player in two games that has scored in double figures, and she had 11. That is some dominant defense.
Oh, you're talking about opponents.
Opponents.
Right. Right?
I mean, the one team scored 43. Virginia, I can't remember how many they had, but winning games by like 50 points. And then you've still got that juggernaut out there in the ACC, Notre Dame. And, I mean, they look tough. Do you think this team's better than last year?
The Louisville team?
Yes.
No. I think last year's team was
– Maisha was just a game changer.
Yeah, I just think, unfortunately, like, that was the – we might look back as the one, but, you know, sometimes teams that seem worse, you know, like they
play harder, the tournament run, or something.
Yeah, something magical happens, you know, and the tournament run just sort of comes together for them, and maybe they accomplish more.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Again, this is they're going to play Florida State. Last year, Florida State upset them in a game where they didn't necessarily play bad, but there was a lid on the rim. I mean, they just could not get a shot to go in. Lost 50-49, as Jeff Wall said, and that was what ended the best start, longest win streak in U of L women's basketball history.
We had a texter text this, and I agree with it. I think if Yassine had not gotten hurt, you know, the grad transfer at that spot, maybe that you talk about them as kind of comparable. But, you know, Mikasa Robinson is also kind of emerging, so it's kind of a different weapon, not a power forward, but she's incredibly quick. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Jeff's got himself a good nucleus to keep going forward after this season as well. Let's take a quick early break here. Come back. We'll start turning our attention to that men's game that Jeff mentioned against NC State tomorrow night at 4:30. Joe Giglio will join us. We'll talk with him about that. Also, Joe will give us a little insight into why NC State fans hate Gunter Brewer and why I think that might be fun for us.
We're going to be a new hated team for NC State.
I hope so.
Offensive line coach. Don't like Gunter.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm good with it.
All right, you're listening to The Drive on 93 on the Ville. We'll be right back.
Come out to Bluegrass Karting and Events and check out their all-new axe-throwing arenas. Make a night of it and also enjoy their new full bar and expanded menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events, the fastest go-karts in Kentucky, and now axe-throwing arenas.
Talking Louisville sports all year round. You're listening to The Drive with Mark Ennis and Luke Hancock on 93.9 The Ville.
Welcome back into The Drive here on 93.9 The Ville. Mark Ennis, Luke Hancock here on a Wednesday out here at the Sports and Social Club. You can come out here and hang out with us as well. We'll be here until 6. In just a few minutes, Joe Giglio will join us to talk a little bit about tomorrow's very important game against NC State. Luke, I don't know that we thought necessarily either one of these teams would be preseason top 25, or would be top 25 teams when they met at this point in the season. Certainly not Louisville, I don't think.
Any clue where NC State started?
I don't think they were. They might have been ranked preseason. I don't recall anymore. But they've been, you know, hanging around the top 25 for most of the season now, at least. And look, this is a big one.
Huge.
This is an incredibly big one.
Huge one. And people might look at NC State's last few games and say, you know, that Louisville's going to be able to make a run. They're kind of trending in the right direction. But Markell Johnson is a very, very good player for NC State. And he has been injured the last two games, where NC State lost at Wake Forest and barely beat Notre Dame at Notre Dame. But I saw in a video before that Kevin Keats said he's doing non-contact drills and shooting and moving around. He's just not going full speed. You know, as a college player, when I was able to shoot and move around and all that stuff, you know, as long as I was cleared, I was going to play. So I know CC said it earlier, but they're going to prepare like he's ready to go. And they're definitely a different team because NC State has big wins. They have, you know, a couple bad losses with Markell out. They have the ability to play great defense. They pressure you a little bit more like the old Louisville teams did. And try and get after you. But they're also very similar to Louisville. They play that four out, one in. I'd like to think Louisville is the best team in the ACC at doing that and running that particular style. But can't tell you how important this game is. We have two games after this one that I would say are winnable. You know, you got to defend home court against Pitt, who's playing well, is a very different team. Wake Forest is struggling, even though they beat up a pretty beat-up NC State team. But if you can get this one done, you've got at least a decent shot at starting 7-1 in the ACC. That's pretty incredible for this team.
Now,
well above where I thought we'd be.
Right, and it's been interesting to watch, like, KenPom, you know, the way the projections go, like, they're updated sort of real-time as every team just plays games. They update to where, like, right now they've got Louisville with a 71% chance to win the game by 6.
By 6. What's the spread?
4.5. Louisville is a 4.5-point favorite.
What did I tell you yesterday? You better give me some props for this.
I'm pretty sure you said 4.5.
I said 5, but I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought you nailed it. I thought Louisville would just be a couple points, right? Didn't I? Something small.
One,
right?
Or two, yeah.
Yeah, so look, Louisville 4.5-point favorites in this one. That, to me, if nothing else, reflects, I don't think Vegas thinks Markell Johnson's going to play. But KenPom projects Louisville to win by 6. Like what you're saying, the most important part here is this is a chance to start 5-1 in the league, and have, I think, if you had started after Kentucky and after conference play, sort of charting which games you thought Louisville would win, which ones you thought they'd lose to try to get to 500 in the league, this was one of those coin flips.
Yep,
anytime
for sure.
You just pick up one of those coin flips, you pick up North Carolina, which I think you thought you were going to lose, you pick up another coin flip, like it's that much easier to start putting some real pieces together for your tournament resume. And instead of just thinking about making the tournament, actually getting like a viable, good seed out of it.
Oh, if you keep – again, we've talked about this 100 times, but the February schedule is so brutal that you're going to need that 7-1 head start. The idea is if you can go 500 in the month of February, you're going to be probably top four in the ACC. You'll probably be chasing Duke and Virginia, and you could be that third, maybe fourth behind UNC. But this would just set them so far ahead of schedule. And you know that's exactly what Chris Mack's thinking. He's got to be circling this game as one where 3-2 NC State is playing 4-1 Louisville and a must-have win. If he has aspirations of really getting that good a seed and not just making this a tournament team, this is a must-win.
NC State is a team that is extremely good at offensive rebounding the ball.
They play hard, yeah.
And Louisville is extremely good at not allowing offensive rebounds.
You have to like how Wara and Dwayne Sutton and Malik and Steven Enoch really do keep guys out of there as far as offensive rebounds.
Joining us now, like he usually does anytime we talk about NC State, is our man Joe Giglio from the News and Observer. He is our expert on all things NC State. and the character of Bobby Petrino, which is fine, Joe, which, again, is totally fine. We appreciate you making time for us, as always, buddy.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate you guys having me up.
Assess for us where NC State is this season relative, I think, to expectations coming into the year. How has the season gone for them relative to how you thought it would go when the year started so far?
Yeah, you know, I think they kind of picked up where they left off last year. They're a tournament team. They beat Auburn in December, which was a good win for them. They didn't really have any stumbles out of the league, which was good for them. And, you know, then they go to Wake Forest, where they never win in any sport ever, and they lose. And Wake Forest is terrible. So it kind of brings up some angst for NC State fans, even though they know what's going to happen. It still happens and infuriates them. So since then, they go to Notre Dame, get a decent win on the road there without Markell Johnson. And now they're really hitting the teeth of their schedule now. You know, Virginia Tech, Louisville, they got a Duke, Virginia coming up. So we'll really see how they can kind of what they're going to be over the next, you know, 3 weeks.
I know that you mentioned they didn't have Markell Johnson, but what happened in the Wake Forest game? Because it seems like just removing one piece, like, is it just witchcraft? Like, what is it with Wake Forest that they're just in NC State's head, regardless of sport?
Yeah, and this is the part of the equation where I always laugh at Louisville and Kentucky fans who are like, we have the greatest rivalry in the history of the world, but it's just Louisville and Kentucky. Like, there's no NC State. There's no Wake Forest. There's no other prongs to those to your area, as great as it is for college basketball. So our area is superior to yours because we have these extra teams. And what happens there is Wake Forest cares about playing NC State. Like, it's a big deal to Wake Forest to play NC State because they have nothing else, because they don't play Carolina regularly anymore. And Duke just destroys them on a biannual basis. So the only thing they have are these wins and vexing style over NC State in football and basketball.
So that's the secret, is that they basically, like, they catch NC State as, so, like, this matters to us more than to you. I said, so that's sort of the secret there, is, like, they catch NC State with it mattering more to them than it does to NC State.
Yeah, I think that's a large part of it. I do.
Makes sense to me.
How has Kevin Keats been embraced so far by fans? They have to be loving him at this point. He's got a few years under his belt, top 25 team, tournament team. I mean, what's the reception for Kevin Keats?
Yeah, he's a conquering hero. I mean, even with the exit in the first round of the NCAA tournament last year, he had a near perfect, that was the only flaw to his first season, was the way that it ended. You know, they beat Carolina, they beat Duke, they beat Arizona in the Thanksgiving tournament. They had so many great wins. They avoided last year mostly the dumb losses. There was a Georgia Tech loss in there, but that was glossed over for the most part. And then this year, again, like I said, he's more than held his own in terms of his serve. And, you know, it's just kind of, they play an exciting way. They play hard, which after the Mark Gottfried era, many, many, many NC State fans were interested in, you know, a baseline level of effort, and to be able to say at the end of the game, this team played really hard and lost, but we can live with that. So, yeah, I mean, Luke, your former coach is certainly in high regard. His popularity, Q rating would be pretty much off the charts, if not for that recent Wake Forest loss, of course.
Is he a good fit there? Like, NC State's a unique place. I know you know this.
Yeah.
Like, is he a good fit for that job kind of long-term?
Yeah, I think he has a chip on his shoulder. I think he definitely, you know, one of the first stories that I wrote about him was, you know, his first job was at this junior college in Michigan somewhere, and not even like a Michigan you've ever heard of. And, you know, he's kind of worked his way up every step of the way, from being an assistant to, you know, being the job that he had at Hargrave, where he was an assistant to begin with, and then he was a head coach, and then, you know, working for Rick at Louisville, and then going to UNCW, you know. UNCW was a mess when he got there. So it's really impressive what he's done in really a limited head coaching experience on the college level, if you think about it. It's five seasons, less than five seasons.
Give us your latest update with Markell Johnson, and then kind of give us what he really means to the team and how things change. I know they did squeak out a win against Notre Dame in South Bend, and I can attest South Bend is a very tough place to play, so that is a good win. But struggled a little bit against Wake Forest without Markell. What does he do for the team, and what have you heard about him coming back?
It does not sound like he will play against Louisville. And I think the most important thing about Markell that you need to know is they need Markell to beat good teams. And I just don't see the type of playmaker, the type of person to create offense like he does on the roster when he's not there. So it just makes their life more difficult.
So it's Braxton Beverly being pushed to be that playmaker when he really needs to be a guy knocking it down.
And he's not. He's not a playmaker, and he doesn't really necessarily play the point. C.J. Bryce has really kind of been initiating the offense and taking those high ball screens. And you guys will recognize how NC State plays. There's a very Patino-esque flavor to how they play, and I thought the same thing watching Minnesota against Michigan last night. Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, I recognize that. I recognize that play. So there's a lot of that going on with Coach Keats.
Very similar matchups in this game, though. They're playing. You know, they don't have a real athletic four man that's going to go sit on the block and go inside out. They're playing four out, one in, kind of like Louisville is, right?
Yeah, and I thought one of the real reasons Louisville was able to make some hay against Carolina was their size. And State is not a big team. Quite frankly, A.J. Funderburk has played really well. A Hargrave kid was at Ohio State, ended up at JUCO last year. And, he's done a really good job for them. But he's a little bit out of his league some of these bigger players, particularly because he has a penchant for foul trouble as well. So that'll definitely be a matchup to watch on Thursday.
Now, I know we were comparing one of the places where it seems to be strength versus strength is even though they're not a big team, NC State's an extremely good offensive rebounding team, Louisville extremely good keeping teams off the offensive board. How is NC State able to do that with, like you're saying, they're not a big team?
Well, everyone rebounds. Bryce and then Devin Daniels, their guards are bigger. So, yeah, it's a team effort when they rebound. And that's been one of the big surprises for me as well, that they've been able to rebound in the style that they have been.
Now, you're watching this team play and sort of Kevin Keats and that sort of thing, and defense coming from Rick, all that sort of thing. Jordan Warr has been on a tear for Louisville lately. Who's on him? What's NC State? What do you think the plan will be to sort of slow him down?
Yeah, that'll have to be a combination of C.J. Bryce and Devin Daniels and some other guys. But they have some of their bigger players, maybe even Jericho Helms, a freshman who comes off the bench and has done a little bit of everything for them. So that's a big challenge for them. That's going to be another matchup to watch. They Cam Johnson had a big game against them, and that's who Keats compared Warro to was Cam Johnson.
What's next for NC State to take the next jump? Is it shooting the ball? I know in that NC State game, I think I was looking up stats earlier, and they won the 3-point line by a wide margin. I think Notre Dame might have shot like 25%, and NC State was close to 40. Like, what's next for them to take that jump to the top of the ACC?
I think next year they'll have a same team back. They'll have another player in Jalen McHugh, who's supposed to be a high-end player. This team, their ceiling is probably what last year's was. They might be able to win a game or two in March, but they don't have high-level talent. They've won so far based on their effort and their defense. And, it's just a matter of how well that will translate against teams that they're not going to have any kind of talent advantage against. So that'll be a key to watch, like I said, over this next 2-3 week stretch.
Now, I want to switch gears for you for just a minute here. Louisville just hired Gunter Brewer to be the wide receivers coach here. And I noticed that a lot of NC State fans are basically like, go to hell about that dude. And so I'm desperate for you to tell me why NC State fans don't like Gunter Brewer, and please, I hope it's really, really good.
I believe he was the one who talked trash about Russell Wilson on Twitter. He likes to press the needle about, you know, Russ went to Wisconsin and didn't really go to State, and he's not really yours, and you can't have him, and that type of deal. So that's where that comes from.
That is wonderful, because I don't like for the basketball rivalry that's got all the juice, the football rivalry, they don't talk to or about each other, and we're in sore need of some of that.
There you go. There you go.
That's wonderful. Are you coming to town for this one, Joe?
I am not. I'm not traveling. Chip Alexander will be there for us. He's fully capable of handling the operation.
All right, Joey. Appreciate you making time for us as always, buddy. Look forward to talking to you again soon. Thanks.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks. Joe Gilliam, News and Observer, our resident expert for NC State. For those of you, by the way, we got quite the reaction there. Joe's joking about the rivalry in Carolina being better because of Wake Forest and NC State was there. He's completely being facetious about that. A number of you are like, you better crush this guy. Joe does not mean that, I assure you.
The Wake Forest-NC State rivalry is not comparing, right, especially in basketball.
No, what? To listen, Louisville, Kentucky. Well, here's the true, the scoop there is, look, NC State, or excuse me, North Carolina and Duke are on their own level there. NC State fans especially believe they too are on that level, and they desperately want North Carolina in particular to recognize it. And because of that, they never pay attention to Wake Forest. And so Wake Forest beats them routinely in football and basketball, and it drives NC State crazy because they're so focused on catching up to Carolina in particular that they lose to Wake Forest on a regular basis, and it is embarrassing to them. And that is what Joe was referring to. I mean, they beat him in football again this year with their backup quarterback, Wake Forest. Ugh.
I mean, both in football and basketball, you would think NC State's significantly better. I like how you said it. It must be witchcraft.
I mean, there are times where it seems like one team has you cursed. I mean, for playing at Notre Dame for a long time felt like a curse.
Five overtimes? We were significantly better than that team. Significantly. I've said it many times on this show, might be my last time in South Bend.
I don't enjoy that trip.
No. It was like dreary and dark when we got there, kind of like Louisville today.
I've said this before, I feel like going to South Bend feels like going back in time.
For a long time, it was like a bucket list football place for me, though.
Do I need
to see a game?
I would encourage you to do that, but just do it once.
Right.
Like once enough.
And then it's over.
Yeah. After that, it's over there. I mean, newsworthy at least from Joe Giglio there. I don't think Markell Johnson – I mean, put the combination of what he had to say there together. I don't think Markell Johnson will play. I don't think they can beat good teams if Markell Johnson doesn't play. Sounds good to me.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. He said some very encouraging things about Kevin Keats, but I just think they're banged up, and he alluded to personnel-wise, they just don't necessarily have the horses to get it done this season. Next year, bringing in some recruits, I think they'll be in a different place. The guy that came off the bench and really helped them against Notre Dame get that win was Torin Dorn, who's a –
Say that 10 times fast,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
6'6 senior. He's averaging like 14.5 and 7 rebounds off the bench. So someone we'll have to watch out for. But a lot of young talent. Like I said, Braxton Beverly can really shoot it. But I don't know if he wants to initiate the offense. I don't know if he wants to be the guy creating shots for other people. I think he wants the easy looks once someone does that. Center inside, 6'9", 240, senior. Just doesn't seem super skilled. He plays hard. That should be a big mismatch for Louisville. And they've got some young athletic guys, but you'd hope the veteran play of Louisville kind of comes through.
Text into the UPS Jobs text line. Luke asks, how will Louisville handle the press? Because there have been stretches in multiple games this season where they have looked completely flustered by the press.
Yeah, which is surprising, because whenever we handled the press, I threw the ball in, and it was Peyton and I just kind of moving the ball back and forth to beat the press. And when you simplify it like that with the talent they have, if Jordan throws it in or Dwayne throws it in, you know, not the Dwayne's probably not the greatest ball handler on the perimeter trying to break down the press, but he's a good decision maker. Jordan's very capable as well. I just think they're going to practice it. They're going to see what NC State's doing. I think it'll play to Louisville's advantage because they do have a four-man or a guy throwing the ball in that can handle it. NC State's going to have to wear down, especially since they've got kind of slim numbers right now. I think it'll play into Louisville's hands. They just have to practice it, you know, really focus in on it.
It seems like, Luke, for your average fan, there were a number of times, especially against Boston College, where they would get across half court and like kind of be like, all right, come trap me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to dribble over here. You know where this is going to go. Come on.
The crazy thing, it's like they didn't scout that was going to happen. It's like they just weren't prepared for it. I don't think you'll see that again because I think Boston College hung around a little longer than Louisville really wanted in that game. And don't get me wrong, they have some really athletic, some very quick guards. Kai Bowman, I think, is the real deal. I think you'll see a more prepared team for this one.
Are you surprised how many times this year we have ended up talking about Louisville having a size advantage?
I am.
In games? I did not think we would I wasn't sure how many times at all we would have discussions where Louisville would have a size advantage, because I think when you think size, you think just big men.
Right.
But,
well, do you think our format, if you're playing four out, one in, you're one big. I mean, Malik Williams is 6'11", and Stephen Enoch is 6'11", but they just haven't played together basically at all. And we've had big advantages against, like, Miami. They had one big who got in foul trouble, and nobody else was over 6'6". And I think we're going to have the same type of advantage in this game. They play four out, one in. You probably won't see their two bigs together. Again, you know, 6'9", 240, Stephen's well above both of those stats. Malik's probably not 240, but can stretch it out in 6'11". I think we have big advantages there. I agree.
Yeah, and it's just I've been surprised how many times that either Louisville's had just an actual size advantage and not just in the middle, but multiple places. You know, Louisville sort of ended up with a bigger lineup than the other. But also,
Louisville can really take advantage against the big teams, though. Like, I look at Carolina.
Well, that's the other part is – you know, Chris Mack self-consciously is like, all right, I'm going to have a slightly smaller four, but he's going to whip you on the offensive end. Like, that has materialized multiple
Luke
times.
Luke May, who is an all-ACC player, is a senior. He's played a lot of minutes, is a great player against Jordan Wara, most improved player in the ACC. I am every night taking Jordan Wara to be able to guard him on the perimeter. All he's got to do is focus on rebounding, and there is no chance Luke May is guarding Jordan Wara. As long as you can take advantage of those spots and you have a guy tough enough and athletic enough to keep the other four-man off the boards, you're going to see what we've seen so far and really Jordan being able to take advantage of that spot. It reminds me of Kyle Keurig. He played that four spot with that beat-up team that went to the Final Four in 12, and he took advantage of all those guys because you gave him an inch of room. He was going to knock down a three. Now, Jordan's better off the bounce than Kyle was in college, and plays a little bit different, but they both rebound hard. They both play extremely hard. And Kyle Keurig was one of those guys who never got tired. So when you're looking at a guy who's 40 pounds heavier and 2 inches taller, he's got to run up and down and chase that guy. And as long as you make him work, you're going to get opportunity, especially late in the game.
Now, I think you're going to appreciate the humor in this text, into the UPS Jobs text line. I'll just read it to you, okay?
Talking about the greatest rivalry in Carolina?
No, I mean, people were pissed about that. Again, I assure you, Joe Giglio does not actually think that. He's just having fun with the fact that Wake Forest lives rent-free in NC State's head. Luke, if Coach Mack could pick one guy to step his game up with the February schedule approaching, who would it be? Stop. In parentheses, excluding VJ.
Oh, that would have been the easiest choice of all time.
Now, but here's the thing, though. Like, excluding VJ, does that mean excluding VJ because it's the obvious one, or is it excluding VJ because we know it's not going to happen?
Oof, I don't know where to put that one.
So I kind of took it to be the latter. Maybe yeah. That was a glass half empty approach to it.
I hate to say it, but I'm not expecting the big jump, but I'm not ruling it out either. You know, I just go back to my own experience at U of L. struggling a little bit to get going, battling through some injuries. And if I had one word of advice for VJ, it's just rely on your teammates and your coaches to keep your confidence there and just keep working hard every day. Because I had those guys really have my back during kind of a tough time when I was trying to get in rhythm. And that's all I really needed. I didn't listen to, no offense, I didn't listen to any sports talk radio tell me about how bad I was. I just focused on what I could control. He needs to do the same thing. That being said, it'd be great if he was the one that would take off during February. But I'm going to choose, if you can get a little more from the two spot, if Darius Perry can start shooting the ball and be a little bit more of a playmaker. And the reason I say that is, I think you're getting a ton out of Dwayne Sutton, a lot more than people expected. I think you're getting a heck of a lot more out of Kristen Cunningham at the point spot, scoring, facilitating, playing defense. Obviously, Jordan Warr is having a great year so far. He needs to keep that up. It's taking good shots, not you know, out of his comfort zone or doing anything crazy, still playing within the offense. And then I think the tandem of Malik Williams – and Stephen Enoch has been there for us. One of them will have a great game, and the other one won't. Stephen Enoch steps up huge in the UNC game to help us get that huge win. So those guys can play off each other and just dominate games where it's more advantageous for the other one. So I'm going to choose Darius Perry. If he starts shooting the ball a little bit better and can give us just a little more solid defense, smart playmaking, and maybe hit a couple threes, couple shots, I think this team is as good as anybody in the ACC.
Yeah, I think Perry's probably the answer because what he can do off the dribble, they really miss. They don't have enough of that. You can go to the bench and not just try to endure that stretch where they go to the bench and have a complete drought.
Yeah, no
which
different
they
answer.
Had to do so many times.
No different answer for you or if you, no, I mean, you got anybody else you want to add?
I mean, it's him. It's him or, like, I guess, just the two spot, period. You know, if Quan Four hit a couple of nice jumpers against Boston College, like, if that part of his game developed a little bit more, that would be nice, too.
A guy really playing his role, though. You know, he knows he's not going to be the one out there scoring 25 a game. He knows he doesn't need to take bad shots. If he gets a kick out and it's an open look, he's going to knock it down. He's still aggressive enough to try and go chase down some offensive rebounds or get to the rim and get fouled every once in a while. But, you know, when you look at Boston College, his job is to wear Kai Bowman out, be physical with him, annoy him. And I'm not exactly sure if starters will say the same or what his goal is, but you've got a lot of talent on this team as well, especially if Markel Johnson played. That would be perfect for Quan Ford to get just match up with him. He's quick and strong as anybody in the ACC. Maybe not the most polished offensive game, but he plays hard and fits his role. I have been very appreciative of what Quan Ford's brought to the team. I think he does great.
Text line says, if Perry could just take care of the ball. Sure. I think it's a start.
It's part of it. It's part of the way to get more minutes.
He is. We went from fouling fouls. I don't know what to call.
I told you that him and Ryan last year wanted to make these home run plays every time they got in the game.
But what do we call the turnovers that are like fouling fouls?
I don't know if we can get a name that makes
turning over turnovers doesn't. You know what I mean? It doesn't have the same ring to it. Like
terrible
at all.
Turnovers.
Something.
Yeah.
Right. Like I just have never seen a guy that like just throws it to a dude right in front of him.
Got
to
value the ball.
And I know it's just because he's like hyped. You know what I mean? But
what did I tell you about?
You got to get control of that.
And him in particular, if you're going to be a guy that handles the ball, that handles the press. How can Chris Mack look at Darius Perry like, all right, I can put you in to break this press down. All you got to do is be smart with the ball and make the right pass. How do you put Darius Perry in at this point?
Text line calls them blind spot turnovers.
Blind spot turnovers.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, text line reminds, and I know a number of other people have brought this up as well, they are making $23 tickets for the game tomorrow. Even lower bowl section, $23 tickets available to try to finish that one off. I hope people take advantage of that and that there's something close to a full house tomorrow.
And I was working out at Planet Fitness this morning, and they're doing something. I think they're $30 tickets maybe starting Monday for the NC State game. If you're looking for tickets, Planet Fitness or wherever the $23 tickets are, great spot. I know I'm almost positive it starts on Monday at Planet Fitness for $30 tickets, but let's fill it up. This is such a monumental game as far as turning the direction of the ACC season. 3-2 NC State, still a little banged up. Markell Johnson may or may not play. But Louisville's 4-1, a chance to be 5-1, tied for first in the ACC with, in my opinion, two very winnable games back-to-back to finish out January.
Yeah, and you'll be on quite a roll at that point. And then it's really just about, like, can you maximize pushing that resume upward?
Your grade for Chris Mack so far in this team?
A-minus.
A-minus? I thought there would be no way you'd say anything but an A-plus.
Yeah, I mean,
just because of Indiana?
Yeah, I think that there's one or two that could have, you know, Pittsburgh would have been nice to sort of dig all the way out of that one.
Another overtime.
There's just been a lot of games where there's been like a mind-numbing kind of stretch.
How close are we really to being undefeated?
No, I mean, Kentucky wasn't close.
Oh, Kentucky. Okay, to having one loss.
Well, Tennessee really was.
Like, 5 points. Yeah, all right. Took over. I'm going to keep backtracking here. I'll keep backtracking. You're right.
You know what?
Tennessee and Kentucky.
Right.
I'm just thinking about the Indiana loss, how close that game was.
Marquette, of course.
The whatever you want to call Marquette.
Right.
And then the Pitt loss that went into overtime where they had to battle back from down, what, 16 in the second half?
Came back from down 12 twice.
I mean, you're very close to being a top 10, you know, pushing seed.
Right now in the updated net rankings, Louisville's number 11.
How'd they do that without playing?
Well, other teams played, so your relative strength of
but
yours.
But they went from – where were they last?
16.
Oh, okay. I thought they were 20th.
Yeah, so they've gone up to number 11. So, I mean, Louisville's resume continues to come through for them right now. I mean, number 11 – are they going to
7-1 in the ACC?
No. Right.
With quality wins at UNC and Michigan State and beating a top 25 NC State team, you could see yourself creeping in on top 10-ish, definitely top 15, I would think, right?
I would think so.
Monumental game. I hope that wherever you got to get tickets, I hope it's loud in there. I hope the environment's crazy. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I do want to give a quick shout out of thanks to Jason and the guys for bringing Witch Witch by the ESPN Louisville Studios. They've got two really great locations, one at Old Brownsboro Crossing, the other at 221 South Hurstbourne Parkway. You can try the ESPN special. You get yourself a large witch, $6.80. That promo code's good 7 days a week. Pick something up for your family, y'all catering at your office, whatever it may be, your Super Bowl party, what have you. You can order online at witchwitch.com, or you can download their app and use it, Witch Witch. They are superior sandwiches. We're out here at the Sports and Social Club for one more hour. Come by and say hello to us here on The Drive on 93 on The Ville. We'll be right back.